Well, we are back. Welcome back to the Pot of Cultura. My name is Milena, and I'm joined today with my co-host...
Natalia Delgado, remember, because there's a hell of Natalia's another TA.
And today we have a very special guest who is a very familiar face on this podcast.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Alan. I was one of the co-hosts last year for the Pot of Cultura. So you guys might recognize my voice. I don't know about my face unless you follow us on Instagram. Then I might be a familiar face. Mm. But we are live right now.
Yeah.
We're live on TikTok.
I'm sweating.
So if you're, so if you're catching this live, welcome. Hi.
Welcome. You get to see all three of our beautiful faces.
Hopefully. They're probably covered by the mic. But what are we talking about today?
So today, well, we made a short film last quarter.
We did in November. Did. How many months has it been? Two.
I can't do the math.
So long.
It's so freaking long.
Yes, we made a short film and not funny, but awesome enough, Alan was our wonderful director and the writer, and the whole concept came from Alan. So we're going to ask him lots of questions today.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't just me, Natalia right here.
Yes.
She was also the DP, the director of photography.
Yes.
So she was in charge of a lot of the... how the film looks, and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for you guys to see it. If you guys are joining our live right now, you guys probably, that's how you guys found us, making that project.
Yes.
A lot of the behind the scenes is from that project. And it looks really cool.
TikToks that blew up. That was mostly clips from us filming in November, the short film. We haven't said the name, Meat Lover.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you guys are watching, or if you guys are listening to this podcast when it's not live, you guys can go to our TikTok at LFTA_talks to look at the TikToks that we're talking about behind the scenes.
Definitely check them out. But yeah, so today we wanted to focus the podcast on how it happened, how it felt, what were some things. You know, I have a list of questions to ask you, so hopefully... we can unpack that and see how it went. Cause I had a great time with you guys. Mm. You guys were amazing the entire 2 weekends. You guys freaking killed it.
It was 2 weekends. That's insane.
Yeah, it was 2 whole weekends.
That's
of our
crazy.
Precious time. And it was honestly such a great experience. So I'm really excited to dive in. I don't know if you wanted to do a little check-in beforehand or just dive
mean?
In. Just how you
like
how
to
y'all
break the
doing.
Ice or like
yeah. I mean, I guess we don't have to.
We're pretty okay. Ice broken already.
We broke the ice.
Fine.
But we are very excited to get into more detail talking about this project because we have worked really hard on it. It's been several years in the making, as you guys will find out throughout this podcast that we're gonna talk about.
Yes.
And it's finally in post-production right now, and we couldn't be more proud that this is our first in-person short film. We knocked it out of the park, not gonna lie.
For sure.
Yeah, you did. I think it's amazing.
So yes, so let's go ahead and get into it, the making of
Meat Lover.
Okay. Yeah.
So the first question, I mean, you guys just were talking about how long it took to get to where we were in November. Mm-hmm. When did it start? Where did the idea come from? How did you start writing it?
I do remember.
Oh,
scratch it out. Scratch that part out.
It was the summer before freshman year of college.
Oh, wow.
So I was a college junior with a friend, and I was I was looking at all the impossible burgers and stuff that they had at Carl's Jr. And I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if we lived in a world where that was the only thing available? That was our only option. If you wanted something that was meat, that was going to be your only option. And that was the first idea, the first concept of a world like that. Mm. And then they're like, yeah, that would be interesting. I'm like, and then as soon as I come up with an idea, something that I think would be interesting, I'm always like, okay, where can I take it from there? And the whole kind of time we were eating, I was just thinking, okay, how about if there's this guy who goes crazy because he can't fulfill that need. Mm-hmm. So he goes to the next best thing, which if you haven't seen it, it's a little bit of a spoiler. So cover your ears if you don't want to hear it. But he ends up becoming a cannibal at the end of the film. And I thought that would just be really interesting. I've always found cannibalism interesting just because it's just so... It's like, how could someone do that? You know, it's like, you get me?
Yeah, like, so fucking out of pocket that you're just
I'm just like, hella out of I'm like trying to understand why someone would ever do that. Yeah. And it's just like interesting. So I was like, okay, how can I? And I incorporated that. And I didn't really have a story that much that then, but I knew, I'm like, okay, I got to write this idea down because it'll seem interesting for it to be a movie one day. And I'm always writing ideas down for movies. And then my freshman year, my first quarter here at UCLA, I took a class, a screenwriting class, and they're all like, we're gonna write the first 10 pages to a feature film, so get an idea. And I was like, I already have an idea. I was like, perfect. And I started to develop it with my TA, and they were really excited about it, so that's where the idea came from. So ever since, like, actually writing a script freshman year. So 2 years ago, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then with LFTA, it was just kind of like the second quarter, right? The second quarter. When did we start working on it for LFTA?
I think we might have started the first quarter too.
I think you're right.
Because they're all like, who has any ideas? And me, a little freshman at this org at UCLA, I was like, I do. And I was like, and they were like, what? And I was like, well, it's a little bit weird. So prepare yourselves. And I told them, and they're like, yeah, let's do it. And we started like pre-production then,
which was compared to the pre-production we did now.
We've learned so much.
Well, we've definitely learned so much. So for those of you who don't know, or as Alan said, we were working on this film pre-pandemic. Fall 2019 is when he wrote the script and pitched it to our organization, the Latinx Film and Theater Association. And we were like, we were down. This was going to be the first short film that we were ever going to produce ourselves. And we started working on it in January, I believe, right? January 2020?
January, was that when we were shooting?
Yes.
I think we started shooting late January.
Early February, like around that time. Yeah. It was so disorganized, but we were so excited. And so it like worked out. But unfortunately, as we all know, COVID came and we had to shut everything down. And we were scared that we wouldn't revisit this idea, because like when you're in that situation, you don't know what to expect, you don't know how far ahead to plan, so we just kind of put it on the shelf for a bit. But I'm like super excited that we hit the ground running with this film again.
You mentioned that we had no idea, we had a little bit of an idea what we were doing, but we were just so excited. And I remember it was the first time I had a crew. I had the first time I had a director of photography. It was the first time I had an assistant director. And I was like, you guys are making this so much easier. I just have to focus on the shots. And even then, like, we were coming up with the shots like
on the spot.
On the spot. It took forever. The intro scene, which will be there, it's a modified version in this newer version. It's maybe like a 1 minute scene with one person. And it took us hours to film. 5 to 6 hours to film.
Definitely.
One scene. Wow. One minute scene.
Yeah.
Holy cow. No, but that's so cool to see how it all aligns like kind of perfectly for you guys. Like, yeah, it was put on hold, but maybe it was better that you guys were able to kind of like, you know, like refurbish it and like make it like so. I mean, obviously, like, there are obviously imperfections this time around, too, and we did it, but you guys seemed a lot more prepared when we were out there, like, doing it. That being said, you guys were talking about how you started the film before COVID, and then, unfortunately, with COVID, everything got shut down. What are some of the changes you made with the old version of Meat Lover versus the one we did?
Yeah, and I was going to talk about that right now. I was going to say that we're so in sync. And definitely working on this project has made us all so in sync. But I was definitely going to say, I think it probably was the first day of shooting. I think I gave like a little speech. And I was like, you know, it sucks that the pandemic got in the way and we weren't able to finish this. But I'm also really grateful because I love the way that the script turned out after. And just the actors that we were able to get and just the production. Like I still would have loved that first version. I know I would have, but I know I would have cringed, and I'll probably cringe looking at this shit too. But it just seems so much better. I don't know if you want to talk about some of the changes, or should I talk about some of the script changes, and then you can talk about
let's more go logistical with script changes, then we'll go into like logistical changes, visual changes, stuff like that.
Okay, sure thing. So the script actually, it changed a lot, because again, after we were sent home for COVID, I kind of just stopped thinking about it. I was like, that's it. Like, I don't know when we're going to go back, but I didn't look at the script. I didn't look at anything, cause you had all the footage too. So I couldn't even look through the footage. So I was just like, okay, I'm gonna move on to other stuff. And then when it looked like we were going to go back to school, our junior year. Over the summer, I looked at the script. I'm like, okay, we're probably going to finish this. Or at least start it all over again. And I looked at the script and I was like, I hate this. I hate the dialogue in this. There's like, because again, so the films, the idea started as the first 10 pages of a feature film. So it had that. It was like some shit that just never got resolved. And like, it wasn't a short film. It was the first 10 pages of a feature.
Yeah.
And that's what they told me in the class. They're like, your first 10 pages can be super good. And they would, you know, your first 10 pages of your feature film are good if you can just cut that off and make it a short film. And that's what I was trying to do. But I'm like, no, it's going to be a short film. It's going to be its own thing. So I kind of started going through other ideas, and we had a table read with LFTA, and you guys just, at that point, we were already back on campus. And at that point, I did not feel confident in the script at all. Like, I was like, it was the same script. And I was like, I think I had rewritten it.
I think you made minor tweaks.
Minor tweaks. Yes. And I was like, I don't like it. I don't feel confident. I don't even feel like directing this. I don't even feel like doing this anymore. But we had that one table read with LFTA. And you guys energized me so much to make some of these changes and make it a way better script. And like, you guys thought about stuff that I didn't even think about. And I was just like, wow, this is, you guys really helped me and really energized me to make it. So we added, did we add new characters? Yes, we did.
Miss Girl here.
She played one of the new characters. And then we added a girlfriend to the main character. He didn't have a girlfriend.
He didn't have a girlfriend before.
And it was more cohesive. And there is still like room to branch out into a feature film. If anyone ever sees the short film and is like really interested, there's still space for it to become a feature film. But it works. It's a lot stronger. The story's a lot stronger. And I can't wait for you guys to see it.
Definitely. And just like, honestly, the script is completely different, which is like what he kind of like touched upon right now. I was already in love with the idea from the freshman year. I just remember like he pitched the idea and I was like, that seems like it could be so dope visually. And I know that you used to have a farm scene in there.
Yeah, which
I
we got
was
rid of.
So fucking excited about. Because
I get to go to a farm.
Yeah, one of our members like lives on a property that's like similar
that, like,
to
resembles
the vibe
a farm.
That we were
she had a cow.
Before.
She had a cow.
She had a cow. So she was literally down to let us film over there, which wasn't too far from LA. And we were like super excited. And honestly, if that plan would have gone through, we probably would have not, like, it wouldn't have been as pretty as it is now. But I just remember, like, when we were, like, talking about my freshman year, when we were talking about, like, crew positions for Meat Lover, I was just like, can I be the DP? like, I want to try it. And they were like, okay. And so that was a lot of fun to, like, try out. I didn't know anything about lighting, and I didn't have any money. So so a lot of the things that we used were very DIY, just because we didn't have those resources. But I was just so eager to make it happen that I like built them myself. I was like, I'm gonna do this shit myself. So we always make fun of the fact that we had a light made out of a cake pan and an LED strip.
Yeah.
And that we used a cardboard box to shape the light into like a TV. And like,
that's so cool.
Yeah, like the best filmmakers, I say, are the most resourceful ones, like the ones that are pushed to create something out of nothing, which is what I always say is like the vibe of LFTA is to create something out of nothing because of all the limited resources. And So that was my freshman year. I didn't know a lot about light. I knew a little bit about composition. I knew about camera settings because I had been familiarized with my camera like 2 years before we started shooting freshman year. But then the pandemic hit and obviously I had to go home. And I got my old job back. So I was like, yo.
No shout out to them.
No shout out to this job.
Unless they want to sponsor us, then maybe that's a different story.
But so I was able to get a job. And obviously with a job, you get money.
Really?
Really?
Capitalism. I would have never done
capitalism. Yeah, no. And then I got promoted at that job. So I got paid even more. So I was just like, let me invest in myself. And I started putting money aside and started buying a bunch of gear, audio gear, lighting gear, and just like playing around with that and doing a lot of tests by myself because obviously COVID, like I can't do anything. So that was a really good time for me to like sit back and like work on everything. And I always, always, always had Meat Lover in mind. Like every single thing that I did a test for, I was like, when we get back, we're going to shoot Meat Lover and I'm going to be ready. So when we did come back, I remember asking Alan, like, we were on a Zoom call before school even started, I think.
Yeah, we were planning.
Yeah, and I was just like we were planning what we were going to do for LFTA. And I asked him, I was like, do you want to do Meat Lover? And he was like, okay. And so we started doing it. We started planning Meat Lover, and yeah, that first table read was like where we could see everybody get really excited about like hitting the ground running with a concept.
It
like
felt a project. Nice. And you were talking about kind of like pushing yourself to be creative when you don't have money. I mean, we still don't have money, but we have a little bit more money than when we started. Mm-hmm. I love that creativity and thinking, okay, how the hell are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. Because we don't have money.
There's always a way.
There is always a way.
And where there's a will, amazing. There's a way.
And like, I always see it like, if I can do this shit with minimal equipment, like, I wonder what we can do with like high end equipment.
Oh my God.
So like, that's always like a big selling point for me. If I ever have to like flex, like, or not flex, but like, so, like if a producer's like, okay, what have you done? I'm like, I've done this, but like with like low equipment. Like, I know how to work with low equipment. Mm-hmm. So if you ever hire me, like if you give me good equipment, imagine what I can do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely just using what we have is so limiting, but like we use it to the fullest potential that it could possibly be used as.
Yeah. That's how you have to start. You have to start with nothing. Otherwise, I mean, you're going to be humbled in the future too. Like,
definitely.
It's so good to start with like the things that you have too, because it also forces your creativity as well.
Yeah.
But you guys were talking about, or Alan was talking about how when he was reading the old version of the script, you know, you started getting discouraged and kind of like self-conscious about it. And, you know, filmmaking in general takes so much patience. Were there moments where like it almost felt impossible? Like besides like COVID, I think like the second time around, were there moments where it felt a little like impossible or discouraging or?
All the time.
Every day.
The whole project. No.
Rippling anxiety.
We just got, because LFT is producing two new short films. Shout out. So stay tuned for those. There's going to be more BTS. All Latinx cast, all Latinx crew. Mm-hmm. But we just got finished with a meeting with the directors and the DPs for those projects. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of just, me and Natalia were just sharing our like wisdom that we learned, of what we learned from Meat Lover. And one of the directors, she said she was very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I remember that feeling of being overwhelmed, because not only were me and Natalia kind of had our hands tied with Meat Lover, but we were also running the org.
Oh,
we were running LFTA,
doing the most.
Yes.
So it was kind of two things on your plate plus school.
Oh yeah.
We're also students.
I'm a student. Oh shit.
And I was also working.
Yeah.
So it definitely felt overwhelming all the time, because especially as you were also producing.
Yes, I was also
the producer. Natalia was also the producer.
Oh yeah, you were doing too many things at once.
Oh, definitely. So,
I know that a director usually has his or her head full of just everything, because you're thinking of everything, but also a producer and also a DP. So yeah. Natalia's head was just as huge with thoughts as mine.
Big ass head.
But
with knowledge.
I don't know how we would have done it if we didn't live
Oh yeah, we didn't live in the same unit.
Because like I would just come outside to the living room and be like, "Hey Natalia, I was thinking about this for the short film," and we would just shoot out ideas, and that was really helpful. Mm. But it definitely felt overwhelming at times. There's just so much in your head.
Oh yeah.
But I never felt like giving up, if that's the question.
No. More so, just kind of like moments of weakness, but that doesn't necessarily mean you were gonna be like, "Fuck this," you know.
Also, I don't think I'm as knowledgeable on some of this stuff as either Natalia or some other people. But that's just like that's just me comparing myself to other people like my age that are doing great shit. Like you showed me, Natalia showed me Generation, the show on HBO Max. Yeah. Shout out to Generation.
I love Generation.
But she showed me that show and she told me that like a 19, 20 year old wrote it.
Yeah.
Whoa. And I was just like, that's insane. Yeah. So like just comparing myself to that, but I mean that always happens.
That's not,
but I like I said, the people around me energized me and they were excited, which made me excited and which made me confident in the idea and that people would think it was an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. So that's my answer. How about you?
Moments of weakness?
As a producer, as a DP,
as all the above.
I would say it was the absolute biggest learning curve of my creative career so far.
Wow.
Because there's things that I didn't even really think twice about. Film permits are the biggest.
Actually, yes.
Film permits, which as a producer, I was dealing with the film permits and just becoming so good at writing an email. Like
and calling
people. Wow. Just like trying to get things done because obviously we had to give ourselves a deadline for when we were going to shoot so that the actors knew and the crew knew when we were going to shoot. So just like going out looking for locations, securing film permits, talking to people who are like much older than I am, which for me personally is intimidating.
It is.
But I was just like, they were willing to help. It was very tedious. I also learned about insurance.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, very, very, very big learning curve.
Which is funny because, again, I guess what were some of the difference between freshman year us and junior year us? I remember like we had no location secured. I remember for one of the locations outside, this was while we were shooting. We're just like, so what are we going to do about that location that's outside? And we're like, Westwood outside a building, maybe. And we're just like, now it's just like, no, we had to get those secured and permits and just safety of everyone as well.
Oh, definitely. Safety is a big thing that I learned about too. And just, I think most of the learning that I did was as a producer on this thing. Wow. And also just, again, going back to my roots of like building things myself. We don't have them.
Yeah.
Like a very like, a scene that required like very sourcey top-down light, and I just made like a bounce source out of a piece of cardboard from Michael's, I think, and
bougie,
and a table skirt from the 99-cent store.
Oh,
and it looks like a giant garbage board thing. Like it looks like it could be trash, but it worked. Like it did what I needed it to do. And so that was also a lot of fun to like go back to my roots and be like, well, if I don't have it, I can make it. And I would just do it.
Yeah, I think maybe that's, you brought up a good point about like getting film permits, because some of the stuff that we had to shoot, we were going to shoot on campus at UCLA, and you definitely need a permit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in those moments where it was the shooting days were getting closer and closer and closer, and we were like, we haven't secured this location yet. What are we going to do if we can't get it? And luckily for me, or maybe not luckily, I'm a very optimistic person. So it was never in my mind that we weren't going to get it. It was always like, no, things are going to work out and we're going to get it. And I guess that's why I never felt like really weak, because I was like, no, we're going to get it. I know we're going to get it. We're going to get it. And it was just kind of just like, I guess manifesting it.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You literally manifested it. Mm-hmm.
But
that's good.
That's just how I always am with like anything. Yeah. That's how I try to be.
Mm. Wow, and that's crazy how you guys were like, we didn't know what we were doing. Like,
I didn't know.
Me watching them from the outside, I would have never guessed you didn't know what you were doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm serious. Like when you came, like I think the first day when you were like going over like protocols and like insurance and all that stuff, I was like, okay, yeah, got it. You know, like, like I'm like, she's got it. Like, she's got it in the bag. Like, and
a lot of that confidence was Natalia. Like, this was like my first time on it wasn't my first time on a set, but it was my first time having like a big role on a set. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I don't know. And you were like, okay, well, yeah, this is what's going to happen. So I really appreciate that. And I hope that we do that for the upcoming projects. Oh, cause they do seem scared, but like, we got you.
Yeah.
We got
you. Yeah.
Definitely. That's what LFTA is about, is like supporting the vision and also just pretending you know what you're doing.
Yeah. and providing that experience. Like, yeah. I was talking to this last time. I was like, for us, low income, first generation students, mm-hmm, which a lot of people from LFTA are, it's hard for us to get like professional experience, like I said, from Google or from Netflix, mm-hmm, or from a movie studio.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm, it's hard for us to apply. We've never applied to these. Our parents can't help us, or at least my parents can't.
Yeah. No.
They don't know how to how to navigate this. So it's like, I can't get an internship. I cannot get an internship at Netflix, but I can make my own experiences here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've learned how to make a podcast. I've learned how to be on set and all that stuff. So, mm-hmm, that's what LFTA does.
Yeah. And most of everything I've learned from film so far has been from you guys, because I've always been like, I'd always been drawn to it, and I've had like one or two friends that know a thing or two, but it's never like as in depth as it was during Meat Lover. like I didn't know what producers did until I saw you do it, and I'm like, maybe I don't want to be a producer.
I had like a love hate relationship with being a producer. Because like I also worked on other sets from the UCLA Film School, where I was just a PA, so I was spending a lot of the time with the producer, and he kept running off making phone calls left and right, and he like one time he came back from a phone call and he looked me dead in the eye and he said, don't be a producer. And I was like,
oh my god.
You're like, okay. I was like, nah, I feel you though.
Yeah.
I feel like the bigger you get, I mean, maybe this is just like for everyone, but I feel like the bigger you get as a producer, the easier things are, because it's like, if you're not going to say no to Steven Spielberg, he produces a shit ton of stuff now.
Yeah, definitely.
That's insane. But,
I mean, I've definitely grown an interest in producing.
You are. You're very organized. And I think you're very...
I'm like genuinely shook that I'm organized. Like, thinking of who more I was more organized like than two
me. You see all the shit I put out for Meat Lover? It's just like a fucking...
And it was a pile of paper.
A pile of paper.
Oh my gosh. But okay. Talking... So... I learned about so many of these different roles, and then I was watching you direct and I'm like, that looks so cool. Like, just like having to be like being able to like call the shots and like just have the vision. So what did it feel like? Like, first time actually like directing.
It was interesting. I'm not going to lie. The first day we got a set, I had no idea what to do, because you weren't there. So it's just like, you were running a little bit late.
I was.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
You had class.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, everyone's here. I don't know what to do. I just don't know how to get it started. So I was just going over my storyboards, and I was just trying to look busy. and then I was like, okay, I know we need to black out the windows. Let's do that. And I told someone that I was giving directions, because, I mean, it wouldn't be a director's job to give directions, like to the crew.
To the crew. It kind of just depends, but like, yeah, it just depends.
So that's why I didn't know what to do with the crew. I was just like, I don't know what orders to give you guys. I was just waiting for you. I'm like, I don't know what we want to shoot first or how we're going to get started. And because lighting, like, you're the lighting person. You're the DP. So I was just like, I don't know how she wants to set up the lighting. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But I did get more comfortable in the role. I don't like to be an asshole on set or be like, my vision, you know, you get me?
I was trying to
be very like lenient about things, and it's fine. You know, I know a lot of these people, it's the first time on set. Not that like that ever affected my vision for anything, but I don't know. I've always been in positions of leadership and stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. So it was just interesting to be in this position of leadership for something that I've always wanted to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I did track and cross in high school, but it's not like the rest of my before that, like for my whole life, I was like, I want to be the captain of the track team. Like, no, it just happened. I like track, but I don't like love it. It's not my passion.
Yeah.
But for it to be for film, it was like, I like this. And okay, I guess it did And I said this to them at the rap party. I was like, you guys and this whole experience really had, it made me love film again. Mm. It reminded me how much I love filmmaking and creating stuff. That excitement that you feel, that adrenaline. I'm kind of feeling it right now just thinking about it.
Yeah.
But like, it really did bring me back. And I'm like, this is why I want to do this. This is why I love this. So just being in that position, I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
I like doing it. I like being with the actors. I like being like, okay. And just not that I knocked it out of the park. I would be like, okay, I want a shot that looks like this. She would like read my mind and she would have it ready. and like, even now in post-production, I was telling Nat, our editor, I'd be like, hey, I kind of want this to look like this. She would have it done. Yeah. Dady with the posters. She's like in charge of our graphic design and marketing. I want it to look like this. They would get it done. I don't know if it sounds kind of like egotistical, but I like having people be like, yeah, I'll do it, and they do it, and it's exactly what you wanted to be.
Yeah,
it's insane to have that power.
Wow. Definitely.
But that's, I try not to like get drunk on that power. I'm trying not to.
Humble.
I'm always trying to be like, thank you very much, I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, because like, thinking about like, this is a, so far such a good experience being part of like a film, I guess, company, if you want to call it. We're basically like our own little
production company.
And I know like, once you're out in the real world, it's not gonna be like this. And that's what's so scary about it. So I was thinking the other day, I'm like, I need to take in like this as much as I can, just because it's so important to like, I feel like this is such a nice way to learn.
Oh, definitely. You
know, from, we're learning from each other, and I don't know, it's just so nice. But as we all three of us remember, there were a little few mishaps during pre-production, production.
Are we gonna talk about those?
I'm just curious. No, I just wanted to ask, like, what were some things you wish you did differently? You know, like.
Oh, wow. Like, the whole project?
Whatever comes to mind, really.
Okay, like, are we talking about on set, what we wish we did differently?
I guess pre-production, what you wish differently. On set, what you wish differently. And obviously, we're in post-production right now, so you're kind of going with what you're doing.
I guess we can start with pre-production. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything right now.
I wish that we had taken time to train people on audio before we got to set.
Okay.
The same way that I took the time to train people with light.
Our lighting was gorgeous.
Yeah. So like I people signed up to Gaff. They had never done it before. And for safety reasons, and also so that they know the equipment that they're working with, I had them come over and we practiced. I had them light a scene and showed them how it looks, like why we light a scene and stuff, and they were like, oh, like they were so into it, and it was so cute, and I was like, yes. But with sound, which is 50% of the filmmaking experience, we kind of just like were like a PA is a boom operator.
Yeah, we didn't have that like lockdown.
Yeah, we didn't should've. Have that lockdown, and I wish that we did lock that down. And I also wish that we just were more, that we had more plan B's and C's, just so for like my own sanity.
I see. Yes. Cause I remember a few times you asked me, okay, like what's plan C for this location? I'm like, it's going to happen. We don't need one.
I literally always was asking him, what's your plan B? What's your plan C? And he was like,
yeah, yeah. Which I mean, we did have to use a plan B, because we didn't get one of the locations, so we used one location as two locations. I don't know if you guys will, when the film comes out, I don't know if you guys will be able to notice, but one of the locations is
the exact same.
Y'all
exact
were same. Versatile as fuck.
It looked good. I think it looked
pretty
good.
It looked really good. I couldn't even tell, honestly.
But yeah, it was cool. I guess, yeah, I guess from the logistical, maybe just focusing on a little bit more audio. I think we planned it pretty well.
Oh, I think we did.
I don't think like storyboarding or shot list or anything like that, I don't think I would have changed that.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to production, I've watched the rough cut of the film many times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, and we talked about it recently too. There's this one scene, a very intense scene where two characters are arguing, but the setting in which they're arguing is very boring. Mm-hmm. They're against a white wall, which first of all, fuck walls, and especially fuck white walls. Definitely. But I mean, what are we gonna do? We're filming here at some of the apartments at UCLA, so we can't like paint them.
Yeah.
It's not our house. But maybe getting them away from that wall, and maybe just getting some better performances. And okay, you know what? I have something for pre-production. I got a book with the action words. Or with verbs, which as a director, you want to give verbs to your actors in order for them to give the best performance that they can, because it's a lot easier to go off of a verb than off of like, okay, you're feeling this. I wish I had that book. And yeah. I wish I had verbs, even if I didn't have the book. I wish I had verbs for my actors.
Definitely.
Because I had some trouble with our main actor getting some of the performances that I wanted, but that was just on me, not on him, but on me not being able to express how I wanted him to do stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think pre-production that wise,
yeah,
that's what it would be.
Definitely. For production, I wish we gave ourselves more time, but then that would also be asking for the crew's time.
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel comfortable doing that, but I wish we would have done it anyway. I wish we would have had a little bit more inserts. But that's that was also a time issue. We didn't have enough time to do it.
A lot of it is basic coverage.
Yeah, very basic coverage. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, working with what we had access to, like it, we made it work, and I think that that's dope. I mean, I keep saying that I'm like, we made it work.
No, you did.
And then production too, we had a mishap with throwing something in someone's eye.
I'm so sorry.
Whenever our actors got something in their eye because we were trying to get a shot, and it slipped by everyone. It slipped by me as a director. It slipped by Natalia as a DP and producer. But sometimes when you're working on something like that, you have like the tunnel vision. You're just focusing on that, and we should have caught it. But you know.
Yeah, you live.
I feel very bad.
You live and you learn.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry that had to happen.
But I'm also thankful it was that and not anything else.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Something worse.
I mean,
worse.
We had the team like on stat, like going to get help too, which was amazing. And
but
it's okay.
Who's a trooper?
Very anything tough. Else on production? I don't know. Maybe just, like I said, just getting some better performances out of some of the actors, I think. Well, not better, because they did a great job.
Oh, they were amazing.
But like maybe like here, like I would have like in my head, like I'm putting it all on me. I'm like, I could have told them to do this a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think I would have liked it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it sucks too. Like we didn't have a monitor, so we were a little fucking
three inch
screen,
flip out screen.
So I couldn't really see.
Yeah.
So I'm like. I think that looks good. And then we would just move on because we were not trying to waste time. But
yeah,
I think that's it, right? Yeah. Do you have anything else?
For production? No, I mean, everybody had a lot of fun, I'm hoping. So, but
yeah. Post-production is going well.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any.
Yeah, no, really I think cool. Post-production is pretty good.
It's going smooth.
Yeah.
That's good. Running out of questions. is it? But what do we say? What do I say? I guess like, okay, so you've kind of like talking about your experiences has already been like, I think it's good to talk about the good and the bad just because everyone wants to hear like your journey and the process, and that's how you learn, is by making mistakes.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think like if you have any like advice for aspiring filmmakers and directors and people that want to get into it.
Do you want to go?
Let it marinate for a bit.
I feel like I can go, but it's the same advice anyone's ever going to give as a filmmaker and as a creator, which is just do it.
Do it.
Which is, if you have an idea with whatever equipment you have, and I hate when people used to say that, because I'm like, you don't know what it's like to be poor. You don't know what it's like to not have equipment, dude. I remember I used to search up on YouTube like, okay, would it like budget filmmaking equipment, and it'd be like, you can get all of this for $2,000, and I'm like,
oh my god,
I'm like, I'm 13. I cannot get that for $2,000. But you know, and everyone's gonna say this, you have your phone, start using your phone like to film stuff, but it is, because with whatever equipment you have, you're going to learn. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you do have enough money to upgrade, or you can use someone else's, like even renting stuff, mm-hmm. you'll add to your knowledge. I've been wanting to be a filmmaker ever since I was like 10. I'm 20. That's half of my life, 10 years of my life. And I've just been, for 10 years, I've been doing small little things by myself. Like I said, I've never really had a crew. Mm-hmm. I was always the most knowledgeable person when I was doing these projects. And, you know, I want to learn. And I learned a lot from everyone on set. But I would say, if you have an idea, do it, and you're going to learn. You're gonna learn a lot from just continually doing stuff. Definitely. It's gonna be bad. if I ever release some of the first videos I've ever made,
dude,
they're gonna be bad. Like, I remember it's a super wide shot for one of these, and it was on film. Like, oh. it was like on a VHS camcorder.
Oh, God.
And I didn't know how to edit it, so I would just hit stop and then set up the next
so
shot.
Cute.
Like, and it was just like my cousins and my brother helping me out film this stuff. But it's gonna be bad. Mm-hmm. But you're gonna learn. Don't be afraid to be bad, because mm-hmm. that's how you learn. Because you're gonna look back and be like, I hate this. It's so bad. I would have changed this. Yeah. And that's what you'll do next project. And I know, I love Meat Lover right now, but I know I'm gonna look back and be like, I should have changed this.
That's,
and that's just how
are.
It's gonna be. That's how it's gonna be. So I would say, go out there and do stuff, because you're gonna learn from all this stuff, mm-hmm. even if it is by yourself. I was alone doing this for a great majority of my life. So, but yeah. Then you'll find your people.
Period. Well, the question was.
What was the question?
Repeat the question, please.
Do you have any advice for aspiring filmmakers or directors or anyone that wants to get into the industry?
You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, and you have to be comfortable being vulnerable, because I mean, as we've been talking about in this podcast, a lot of this was a first for myself and for Alan, but also for the members of LFTA who have never done anything like this. Yeah. And the reason we got it done is because we were so okay with the idea of not knowing what the fuck was going on, but in a way, we were all in the same boat, like, because
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
So you just have to be comfortable being vulnerable, and like, just having people support your vision. Like, you have to be confident that everybody's on board. Because if you're like me, I have my doubts about everything, and I'm just like, they think I'm dumb. They yeah. think I'm this. They think I'm that. Yeah. When that's like not the case, and just like. Just like, be, if you're passionate about something, then like, just keep going for it. Like, I've seen a lot of our members grow with their love of this art, which is goal for the org.
It's so beautiful to watch.
That has always been my goal for the org, was to just like provide a space where I could see people starting off with very little knowledge and make something that they're very proud of. And I mean, that's just the point of like LFTA. So it's like very specific to like Latino artists, of just like being that source for them. Cause like, I mean, if you listen to our old podcast, Alan and I would always talk about how hard it is to be a Latino artist, and how that like doesn't seem like an option for us a lot of times. But like, just find people that like support you and that you're like proud to work with, and like surround yourself with that, and make shit out of what you already have, like Alan said.
And I want to go back to that. Like, for me, it was like, okay, I don't have the best equipment, mm-hmm. so I'm not gonna focus on cinematography. My whole thing was focusing on stories, because stories are free, they're in my head. I can become a really good storyteller. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to make me stand out in the future. Mm-hmm. So like I said, in those 10 years, yeah, I had to learn a lot of technical stuff, like how to work a camera, how to work the lights, how to audio and all that stuff. But it was always, I always put story above all, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't be limited with my story. Mm-hmm. I can be limited with the camera that I have, with the lights that I have, with the audio equipment that I have, but I can't be limited with the stories that I can tell. Well, a little bit, because I don't have that much money, so I can't write like a sci-fi thing. But like developing characters and becoming a strong character writer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was beautiful, you guys. I'm so touched. I'm like getting so inspired by you guys now. That's, I mean, I ran out of, I had like a silly question, but like.
We can do a silly question.
Silly question.
Yeah. I mean, because I just wanted to like derail for a second because you guys were talking about it, just like just doing things and just making it happen. And I had actually made a short film when I was in community college.
Yes.
Yes.
Not by myself. Like I had one other friend who knew about film and I had an actress and that's all I'd had. Because
mm-hmm.
also COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even really a story. It was like a music video montage type thing, but I was using it to cope with the tragedy that happened in my family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, if I were to watch it now, I'd be like, no, I also did not know how to like shoot things because I didn't know anything yeah. about like shots or like mm. I had one other person there that knew a little bit more than I did. So when he was there to help me, like, I was like, this looks amazing. And then like when I actually like edited it and I finished editing it, he was like, you need to color grade this. I'm like, oh, okay. Can you do that? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, cool. And like, I never like wanted, I don't know. I like did all of that and I did it for myself and I never like posted it just because it is such like a personal thing to me. And I don't know if I'm ready. And I do want to go back someday to refine that yeah. and like to actually give it a story. Cause I, mm-hmm. in that moment, I was just kind of like, I just need to get this off my chest, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's like, I don't know, with you guys, I'm like, there's like a world of possibilities now.
There is.
It's just so cool to watch like how you guys have grown. And I feel like every day I'm with you guys, I'm like learning a little bit more. Like,
yeah, because we talk about this shit all the time.
No, but it's
our free time, like at the bonfire.
I know. But it's, I love it so much. And like you guys are like everything you guys want to do with this org, you guys are freaking knocking it out of the park. Like it's Thank so you. Good. But okay, anyway, that was my little spiel.
No, it's good. But see, like even in that story, you learned a lot from.
Yeah.
I guess that would be some other advice. Like even if you're not sharing what you're making, mm-hmm. just make it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Make it and you'll learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I say this all the time. I like to make things because it helps me process like what's in my head too.
Mm-hmm.
But I do shit all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, if I'm ever going through some shit, I'm always, the way I let that energy out is being creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so like if you ever see me being really creative, I'm going through it.
Oh, fuck. I will be there like, hey, let me in.
Don't do it.
But I mean, I think that's a very healthy way to do it instead of like
going.
It's
better than like drugs.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, I'm glad I'm able to do that.
It's a beautiful way to like cope with things, you know? And like, that's what I always tell people.
Picasso
like,
head ass. The blue era or whatever.
But even like just getting it out, like it doesn't even like some people are writers, write a poem about how you're feeling. Some people are artists, draw what you're feeling. You're a filmmaker, like go outside and film a fucking tree if that's what it brings. Like symbolism to it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's just so inspiring and amazing to see that there is this way that people can like tell and express who they are through art, you mm-hmm. know.
And we're glad you're feeling this way, because I feel like I've had people where I'm you and I'm feeling excited about stuff and wanting to like conquer the world. So yeah. if we can do that for other people, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, so inspiring. I love it. Okay, I'm like, what else did I have in mind?
Let's talk about your experience in Meat Lover. You are an actress in Meat Lover.
Well, you did a lot of other stuff too.
I did TV, like production design, right?
Yes, and I did everything that wasn't done either. Like the day, like our Crafty left, I was like fucking doing it myself and like just running in and out. I helped Ingrid with some of the makeup and like the fake blood.
We used her apartment a lot too, so she was just like,
yes.
I felt, oh my god. So the first day we were supposed to film, I was really sick. And I was, you both remember that very well.
Not COVID.
No COVID. No, I made sure it wasn't COVID because I was, but I was still like, I woke up that morning so anxious because I was like, I'm going to have so many people in my apartment and I feel like crap. And like, I was so close because I also really wanted to go home that weekend and like, but I was like, I can't do that to them. You know, like I really didn't want to do that to you guys. So I was just kind of like, let's put our big girl pants on. Let's do this. Like, you guys showed up. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm sick. I'll be okay. We could do this. And it ended up like going way better than I thought. Like for me, just because I was also just really nervous to be. I had like barely met you guys too at the time.
Yeah, like we literally didn't know you guys and you guys showed up to hell.
Yeah. Like I was just like, they're going to think I'm this or whatever. But I was really excited to act just because like I've always been a performer, but I've never gotten to fully dabble in like acting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like not until, I mean, I did theater in high school, which was like, it was kind of like, I guess like I need to practice more screen acting just because like I'm realizing that I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I think like I was trying to like watch videos and like figure out ways on how to differentiate it because when you're acting on stage, it has to be a lot bigger and a lot more like expressive. And I didn't want to do that, obviously, especially since my character was so mellow and just kind of like
chill. You played that part well.
Did I?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
I
was watching it and I was like, I could have done this better. Like, I feel like I sound fake. That's like
everyone.
I know.
I said that about all the stuff I've made, but
yeah.
You're your own biggest critic.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the crippling part. But because like I was like when we were doing it, I didn't have any rehearsals and I was like, Alan, do you have any corrections for me? Like,
well, no,
seriously.
You were doing it great. That's
no, but that's what you kept like, saying that. And I'm like,
out of the park.
Oh, my God. No, but I was like, just tell me. And you're like, no. I was like, OK. But it was a really fun experience, not just being a part of it, but also watching you guys, as I've already said, like just I'm watching everyone, too, like. I don't know. There are moments where I didn't really have a role and you guys were just like doing multiple takes for certain scenes. And we were all exhausted.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And sweaty.
Sweaty, because unfortunately my AC was broken and we filmed on one of the hottest days in November ever. Yeah. It was like 90 degrees in November. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we couldn't even open the windows because we had blacked everything out. Yeah. So blacking everything out is just like putting...
Again, dollar store table skirts.
Table skirts.
Black table skirts.
On the window, so it looks like it's night because it was a night scene, but we were shooting during the day.
Mm-hmm. A day for night.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, I also was, like, I volunteered to, like, offer my apartment, and then I was, like, had to talk to my roommate and be like, is it okay if they come film? And she was really cool about it, so thank you so much.
Trooper. Thank you.
Thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you, Miss Jocelyn. And I remember, like, I think it was in the bloopers, too, where, like, we were doing a take and she came home and she's like, sorry. It's cool. It's your house. No, it was so fun to just see it all come together. And like, I honestly didn't know what was going on half of the time either. So like, you guys be like, hey, like, boom, boom, boom. I'd be like, I was like, what's happening? What's changing? Like,
and like the other side of that is that like, we're so like tunnel visioned into it. We're just like, I need to get this. Yeah. And we're just like so fucking focused.
Yeah.
And
you
like,
we're so focused. It was insane.
And then it's like, we would get back after a day of shooting and me and Natalia would look over all the footage, the dailies, but we would also look at the behind the scenes. And I'm like, I did not know this shit was going on. Like, so we had a videographer and they would just be like filming shit like set, like what was going on set. And I'm like, I don't remember this. Like it's something would happen. I'm like, I don't remember that. And it's just like, oh, wow, they're having a lot of fun. Like, I saw other people being focused and I was like, this is great. So it was really interesting to see. And I love that we got that behind the scenes footage.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It's so funny. Some of the shit we would say.
We're just funny as people. We are.
Like there's this image in my head, of the a character comes into the apartment and Milena is just like on the corner closing the door.
And I was disassociating. I was like, because they wanted me to catch the door because I think he like slams it open or something.
He slams it open and I didn't want to hit it. I didn't want it to hit your fridge, but I also wanted it to close again.
Yeah. So I was there with like an oven mitt. But like you guys had to like change the lighting or like fix something. So I would just be sitting on the ground next to my fridge with like my legs crossed. And then we were so tired and it was so hot. And I was also still coming down from my cold.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would just like be leaning up against the fridge, and I just close my eyes and I would just disassociate.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad because you were so focused, but then I'd be like, Natalia. And then we'd start like clowning around. But like, and I was like, shit, she has shit to do. Like, I can't do that. I feel so bad.
No, bro, I would be like so focused. And then like, I just see like little dancing in the corner of my eye, and I'm like,
time to dance.
But it's so funny how we're like all focused on different things.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I remember you I remember you're like, I'm just focusing on their bodies.
Yeah.
like just what their bodies look like in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I think we need to shoot this again. Like Brian was like this whatever, and you're like, I didn't even notice
that.
And like I don't notice some of the stuff that you notice.
Yeah, so it's good because you have double eyes everywhere.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like he's focusing on the performance and I'm focusing on how they're taking up the space in the frame and how the light is looking on their face. And I do this thing a lot, and I should explain to people before I do it because I feel like they think I'm like being a bitch or something. But I just like look at them and don't say anything. And it's just because I'm just looking at how the light looks on your face. And so like a lot of the times, like I was like, oh, can you stand in? And like they'll just sit there and I'm just like,
staring
like,
them down,
like just like staring them down, and they do the little like their eyes,
the awkward dog side eyes,
because like I'm not explaining to them what I'm doing, like
yeah,
I'm looking
it's just happening.
Their body looks in the frame and I'm looking at how the light is hitting their face,
and then just like an actor's on their performance.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I could not tell you for the life of me if it was a blooper or anything like that. Like I was just like, they looked pretty.
They looked so nice.
Yeah, it's insane.
I remember when we were doing the AA meeting scenes, and like when you had to get the shots that you were in front of me, dude, I was so nervous because it was a bright light like on top of me practically, and then in the shadows I just see you and Alan just like staring me down, and I had to do my lines like
and I remember that shot too, because Natalia had to be super fucking still. She was sitting and she was just not moving,
so
and
much
I was,
tension,
and like I don't know, maybe we should explain it to actors, like we're not like focusing on how you look.
Yeah,
like you can look like dumb or whatever, but like we're not like looking at that,
but
we're looking at like very finite things. Mm. Like, are you centered? How was the light falling on your face? I could care less about the face that you're making.
No, because like I know you guys were like super non-judgmental at all, but like just like the fact that I had two people watching me and I had no screen acting experience, and like
I would be awkward as fuck.
Yeah,
too,
no,
so
I was going to say something else. I forgot. It's okay. But yeah, that whole day too, that last day was good because we got everything done, but it was so chaotic all day long.
It was insane that last day.
Yeah.
We had how many scenes did we shoot that day? Like four or five?
We did so much.
Compared to being only like shooting like one or two scenes a day.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they were in different locations too.
Yeah.
One was outside.
Mm-hmm.
The last scene that we shot was outside. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't mention that.
I know.
Actually.
Not disclosing that.
Yeah.
Surprise for when you watch it.
But yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, all of those things are like core memories because it was so fun and like.
And we're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Twice. Twice. Twice.
And Milena is the DP.
She's the DP. Yeah.
Yes, I volunteered as tribute. And I mean, I've always wanted to, like, I always told myself, like, my dream job would be, like, creative director, creative whatever that means to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what it means.
I want to make it my own job.
Yeah, my own business. But because I've always been, like, drawn to, like, just the cinematography in films mm-hmm. and like yeah. how much of an impact that makes. I'm like, I want to learn how to do that. And when we went to Pico over winter yeah. break, or no, Thanksgiving
break,
you're like, you should do it. And I was like, okay. And then when you were asking for volunteers, I was like, like, slowly raised my hand.
Yeah. And that's like what we were talking about, is seeing members like grow and get excited mm-hmm. about it. And like really, because we always say LFTA, you get out what you put in.
Yeah,
and just definitely. Like seeing you put in so much into this org, and we're so grateful for you.
Yeah, we are.
Just like, period. Yeah.
Anything for LFTA. No, I'm serious. Like, I was texting my best friend today, and she's like, how's your day going? And I'm like, oh, good. I'm doing XYZ for LFTA. You know, anything to keep me busy so I don't feel a single thought. But I love it. Like, for me, like, I need to be busy to feel like I have a purpose. Like, no, this. I'm serious.
Okay.
Serious.
I understand that. Like, I feel like that, you know, it's not healthy, but
I mean, like, I know my limit. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I need a break, I'm gonna like savor that break.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I get a thrill out of being busy. Like, I always tell my friends, like, when I was in high school, I went to school, I worked at a dance store. So my day was going to school till 3, mm-hmm. working at my job from 3 to 6, and then from 6:30 to 10, I'd be at rehearsals, like, with my musical that I was in.
I don't know how we did this shit in high school. Oh, we do so much in high school. Yeah,
but I remember that period, like, and that was my senior year, and that was the most, like, involved and busy I ever was in high school, and I loved it. Like, I was exhausted, I was tired, but I got such a thrill out of going, like, whoop, 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 and, like, doing everything, doing, like, I'm pretty sure I messed up my ankle when I was doing that, and I was sick and I lost my voice, but I loved it and I loved doing all of it. Probably not good for me in the future, but I'm learning now instead of later.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. But I guess maybe just going back to the other two projects, like, we're gonna have different roles in these next two projects. Mm-hmm. So if you guys are watching live, or if you're just listening in the podcast, we're going to be filming the last 2 weeks of February. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that. Two different stories. Very excited.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited for these.
Yeah. I'm going to say. Gonna Stay tuned. Shit myself. I'm going to shit my pants.
With excitement.
Yeah. But, and then we also have our show in May, which I'm so excited about. Yes. That too, because yes. We have more Latinx writers that created plays.
Beautiful plays.
I am blown away by these stories.
All of them.
And that's something really excited to look out for. And all three of us will be in charge of that as well. And and including Tonali. Shout out to you, Tonali.
So if you're in Los Angeles, May 5th and 6th at UCLA, we are going to be having a live theater showcase with five plays by Latinx artists.
And three short films.
And three short films, yeah. Me Lover, I don't know if Me Lover will be premiering, but we'll definitely be showing it again.
Yeah, it'll definitely be screened at night.
We should have a red carpet premiere for Me Lover.
I mean, that's what we were thinking.
Oh my God. Because
we can rent out that place.
Yeah. Oh my God.
For like a small event like that, yeah. So
but do we have money?
No, speaking of money.
Oh yeah. We're currently
having a fundraiser.
This is the longest outro ever.
I know, hey, let us take our time.
We're currently having a fundraiser. We are crowdfunding basically to have some money for these two upcoming short films that we are working on. So if you love what we do, because we love what we do, and you want to support us, you want to support Latino artists at UCLA, Latino filmmakers, storytellers, please consider donating, even if it's just $1, $2. Like, it goes a long way. Little goes a long way. To our Venmo, LFTA UCLA, mm-hmm. or to our Zelle, which is LFTAUCLA@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We appreciate any and all support. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, and money runs this town. So.
Yeah, money runs us. Money has a chokehold on us, unfortunately. But if you also just want to keep up with us and what we're doing on like a daily basis, I guess not really on a daily basis,
sort
but
of.
Follow our Instagram at LFTAUCLA. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Okay. Where we'll be posting like what we have upcoming, like how our short films are going. Like, if you just want to, you know, stay in the loop and find out what we're up to, go give us a follow. And that'll connect you to our TikTok, our email, our YouTube, our everything is there. So
along the link tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was a really good episode, I think. I hope you guys feel like you're able to talk about Meat Lover the way you want to, right?
Yeah. Okay, I guess good. So. I don't know what else I would talk about.
It was fun.
It's been fun.
It was really fun, yeah.
It was fun.
Thank you for joining us, Alan, too.
Yeah, of course. You guys are great hosts. I listened to the last episode. I was dying the whole time. I was like, yes. I was like audibly loud. I was laughing out loud, but I don't want to say that because I'm LOL. But I was like, I laughed out loud like a couple of times listening to it. And I was like, man, you guys are great hosts. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
I can't wait for other people to come on here.
I know.
Carly and Ben next time.
Yes.
For their short films because they're directing.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be lit.
Oh, my. We'd have to get another mic.
Well, this one.
For both of them?
Oh, like separately.
Separate ones.
Mm. One for Carly, one for Ben.
One for Pledge, one for Como Cristiano.
Oh, so I was like, let's just have them both at the same time.
So yeah. Good.
Damn. Well, thank you guys for listening to us. And thank you guys for joining us on our TikTok live.
If
you're still there, thank you for sitting through this. Oh, thank you guys so much for the support. Thank you guys for listening.
We appreciate
and y'all. Tune in for the next one.
Yes. Yay.
Okay.
See ya. Be safe.
Bye.
Bye.